Hi, this is Andrew Lotta. Welcome to another edition of Sadistically Speaking. This is episode 87. Christian Bale should star in the Renee Richards story. So one scientific project that I was involved in back in the day involved differences between males and females in how they process information about their health. The theory behind the work was this. Females have to invest a lot more cognitive processing when it comes to their health information. And that's because any bodily symptom for a woman, in terms of interpreting it, is dependent on their age, their menstrual cycle, and their pregnancy status. I mean, when a dude gets a headache, he gets a headache. That's it. Take a towel and I'll move on. When a woman gets a headache, she has to evaluate it relative to whether she is pre or post-menopausal, where she is in her cycle, and if she may be pregnant. Sucks to be a chick. So the logic of these studies is that it's likely that females devote a lot more of their mental resources to health information than males do. And that gives us males more time to concentrate on porn. So we did some clever studies that involved testing whether males or females remembered more health-related words that were presented to them in a variety of tasks. And honestly, I don't really remember what we demonstrated in those studies regarding sex differences. The only thing I remember from those studies is that, one, everybody remembered the word diarrhea when they saw it, and two, nobody could spell diarrhea. So the reason I bring this up, there's really no reason, but the reason I did bring this up is because I feel like it's a missing topic in the current debate about trans women in sports. Now, for those who you confuse these terms, meaning everyone, a trans woman in sports would refer to someone born as a male and then transitioning to a female and playing in a sport with other females. Now, the argument against trans women in women's sports has been twofold. The first is the matter of women being exposed to penises in female locker rooms. It's the case that very few transgenders have bottom surgery, meaning in this case, cutting off your pee-pee. The numbers vary, but it's about 2 to 10% that have this surgery. That's for you, Dougie. What this means is that it's more than likely that the trans woman athlete will be swinging a ding-dong. And this is offensive to female athletes without willies. Now, I don't have much sympathy for this argument because I'm not a big fan of seeing penises in my locker room either. So let's just cover that shit up no matter where you are. Male, female locker room. This is all easily solved by a universal keep your penises hidden law, which I think would be supported by 95% of people under the age of 70. So let's move on. The second argument against trans women in sports is the more reasonable proposition that you've all heard, and that is that growing up with male hormones and genetics provides a greater advantage in most competitive sports because males will have greater bone density, larger lung volume, better ability to shotgun a beer. Now, these advantages don't disappear once you go on hormone therapy. But then again, on the other side of the argument, bone density and lung volume and wingspan vary widely among natural females as well and gives some of them an advantage. In fact, pretty much everyone who is at an elite level in sports probably has an advantage over 95% of people. Also, in the middle of this, does it occur to anyone else that the logic comes out of the women's sports is that you can be considered a woman even if you have a Y chromosome, you can be considered a woman even if you have a penis, but you can't be a woman if you have elevated testosterone levels? That's it. So we've answered the question, what is woman? And it's completely determined by current hormone levels? Makes no sense. However, in all of this discussion, I've rarely heard this, which is the point I'm making today. Trans women, males who transition to female, are at an advantage in sports over biological women because they could train as a youth without all of the extra baggage of growing up as a female. So think about it. Most elite athletes have trained for most of their lives. And for females, that means having to maintain your training through the big changes that come with puberty. And yes, males go through puberty and they have to deal with growing Adam's apples and body hair. But females have to go through starting menstruation and developing breasts, which are not particularly aerodynamic. Then, females' training is always dependent on where they are in their menstrual cycle. I mean, you hear guys, athletes talking, they always mention that they have to listen to their body. You know, I've learned to listen to my body. Well, men's bodies only say, it's Tuesday. Imagine all the shit a female body is saying throughout a month. Then there becomes dealing with concerns about pregnancy. Could you be pregnant? Might you want to become pregnant? If you do become pregnant, there are great changes to your body that you have to navigate if you want to return to your sport. And all of this is on top of the clear social differences in the push and support for males and females to engage in sports. I mean, my first gift in my crib as a child was a Packer football. I'm sure my sister's first gift was a doll. This isn't to argue that these norms are awful or sexist, but it is suggesting that there are extra hills to climb if you're a female trying to train to be elite in a sport. Now, you may argue with me and say, Andrew, some female athletes don't even go through normal menstrual cycles. Yes. And the best cases of that, if I said, come up with a case, the first one you'll come up with is female gymnasts. And guess what? Gymnastics is one of the few sports where the females are actually more popular and successful than the males. It's also the sport that most often females are pushed into at a young age, which overcomes some of the social stigma. So I think gymnastics actually proves my point. And the point is, even if a trans woman did not have a biological example, and even if they cut off their Dick Johnson and had hormone levels similar to other women, they would still have the advantage of training for their sport without the added burdens of highly contextual body information, the massive changes related to procreation, and the social norms. And even if you don't buy any of the other biological arguments, that's the major reason why women's sports should remain only for biological women. So what's the solution for gender categories in sports? A lot of people suggest, let's have a third category for just trans athletes. Every time someone says that, it's stupid. The percentage of people who are trans is so low that you couldn't possibly put together a field in any sport. And even if you did, it would be like two really good athletes and then a bunch of other people who just get in because there's not many trans that they could rack up on the street. So here's my suggestion. Two classes in sports. One, only for biological women, and they have very strict hormone rules. And the second, open class. That is, everyone can join. So a biological female class and an open class. And you can join the open class if you're male, female, trans man, trans woman, non-binary, whatever the fuck Ezra Miller is, and we'd be much more lenient about your hormone levels. Now, when you think about this, we actually already have that. Because there are no rules, there are no specific rules barring females from playing in the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball. If you can compete, you are in. So people who say trans athletes are banned from sports, they're not banned from sports. You can compete in the open category. And we can make that clearer by only referring to it as the open category. We won't call it men's basketball anymore. We'll just call it open basketball. Now, this is bad news for Leah Thompson because she sucked competing against men, but tough shit. However, Leah, when you join the open class in the locker rooms, please hide your tallywhacker. As I mentioned before, my first gift was a Packers football, and I've been a lifelong Packer fan. And when they last won the Super Bowl in 2011, I ran out and sat in the middle of the street and cried. And I may do something similar if they manage to do it again this season. But even if that happens, something I've waited over a decade to occur, even if that happens, I promise that I will not feel as much joy in that moment as I did this week when the U.S. women's soccer team lost to Sweden. Fuck you, Rapinoe. Pass the tequila. Out!